الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين محمد النبي الأمي الكريم، وعلى آله وأصحابه وأهل بيته أجمعين. أما بعد، سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب زدني علما، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Alhamdulillah, we have decided to speak about a important topic which would have been out had it been a little bit earlier, but I was in two minds whether to broadcast it at that time due to being on a journey and the interference of the travel sound being an inconvenience for the listeners. In any case, alhamdulillah, Allah grants tawfiq at this late hour to share a few words that will be of benefit to myself and to others, inshallah ta'ala. Today was the mark the usual celebrations in most parts of Western Europe and the Western Hemisphere, but now also internationally across the world, of Valentine's Day. A day where a lot of fuss is made to celebrate the so-called love, as it's claimed, between those who love one another. Now, a lot of people have asked about the Shari'i perspective and the Shari'i ruling in regards to that, and we'll come to that inshallah ta'ala. But let's just assess what we witness. Let's just assess that for a moment. So what we witness is a bombardment of commerciality and the corporate machine going into work with all the marketing and all the things at its disposal to ensure that the consumer keeps on buying, whether it's a heart-shaped keyring, whether it's a card, whether it's flowers, whether it's a gift here, whether it's dining there, whether it's items of clothing, or what they could call date night between husband and wife, or even those in haram relationships being encouraged to carry on. This is a day to celebrate your love for one another. So there's a commercial aspect to it, and even as non-Muslims, people will admit and they will observe that you don't have to be Muslim to see that there's always a commercial benefit, a commercial end to the date. A lot of non-Muslims themselves say that they find it rather corny, cheesy, to be forced to celebrate the affection between themselves and their partner. And that can be understood. It should be spontaneous. For indeed, a lot is said about romance, and that it should be spontaneous, surprises, everybody likes a good surprise. And yet, it's pre-planned, pre-ordained in the calendar, as it were, that it's going to be the 14th of February, this is Valentine's Day, and so each person goes about trying to surprise the other person, knowing full well that everybody's expecting something. There is no surprise in it. So there's the commercial aspects of it, which takes away any notion, whether you're Muslim or non-Muslim, any notion of there being anything genuine or sincere. That's the first thing. That's a general perspective. The second thing to bear in mind is that before we engage in something, before we involve ourselves in something, in anything, whether it's work, whether it's an activity, or whether it's a course, a program, or whether it's a celebration, we must always understand and research and delve into and find out what is the purpose behind it. So, just as we enroll on a university degree or a college course or take optional subjects at school, or we do a fitness class, or we take up various exercises, there's always a goal or a perspective, sometimes not a long-term one, though one should plan long-term to an extent without being overly focused on it and forgetting the priorities of deen. But we always have something in mind. So why is it that we go into festivals and non-Islamic concepts of celebration and festivity without even researching and looking into what am I representing here? What am I getting involved in? And the truth is that when we delve into the background and the backdrop of what 14th of February is, we'll then understand why the Islamic rulings and the Muslim perspective sits where it does, and why it's justified in making sure that Muslims avoid being utilized for something unawares, unknowingly, which could be very detrimental to them, is very detrimental to them in this world and in the Akhirah. So now, focusing on the backdrop of it, the February celebrations of Valentine's Day is not as innocent as it seems in terms of where it originates from. According to my research, the first time it was ever celebrated is that Valentine himself was a Christian priest who served around about the 3rd century in the Roman Empire. And at that time, the Caesar of the time, the emperor of the time, was Claudius II. And he decided all single men made better soldiers than those that were married because they had nothing to lose. They weren't tied emotionally. He thought they were better soldiers, warriors. So he outlawed and he made it forbidden for any young men to get married, hoping to build a stronger military base. Now, apparently, supposedly, Valentine decided that this order wasn't fair. So the priest, priest Valentine decided it wasn't fair. And he chose to marry young couples in secret, disobeying the Emperor Claudius's ruling. So Valentine's actions found him in trouble with the law, and he was put to death. There is another version, which is that he was actually imprisoned and he fell in love with a jailer's daughter, and he was put to death. And on the first ever so-called Valentine's celebration was when he wrote a letter to her, which is why they do the cards thing in the commercial aspect of it today. But February has always been, since then, a month to celebrate these kind of things, as far as the Middle Ages is concerned. And it's only second in terms of celebrations to Christmas, in terms of sales. Now, there's another history backdrop to this, which is that of Cupid. And he is the god of desires, they say, Iliad billah. And in Roman mythology, Cupid is the son of Venus, who's supposed to be the goddess of love. Now, why am I saying all of this? Why am I going into this history here? Because the Greek mythology says that Eros is the god of love, Cupid is the son of Venus, right? And Cupid is often said to be the mischievous boy who goes around wounding both gods and humans with his arrows, causing them to fall in love. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's the backdrop of this whole ritual and celebration and commercial festivity of Valentine's Day? What part of that is in any way okay for a Muslim? It's not. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the savior of mankind and jinn, rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy to the world, in an authentic hadith recorded by Imam Bukhari in his Sahih, has said that a person will be raised and he'll be taken into account with a people that he imitates. So if we imitate a people or a nation or a group of persons, then that's whom we'll be raised with. That's a big warning. That's a very big warning. And the reality is that for a Muslim, we don't need a date in a calendar to show us how to, or to teach us how to show love to our husband or wife, or Mother's Day or Father's Day, or our parents for that matter, or our children with birthdays. We should be showing love and mercy and kindness and doing things for our loved ones on a regular basis, on a daily basis. That can involve surprises. It can also involve gifts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam encouraged the giving of gifts within one's means. People should spend what they can afford so that it doesn't become a burden on them either. They should give what they want to give happily. That's the whole purpose of giving gifts. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his sunnah, he encouraged people to exchange gifts, and then he said sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that increases love between two people. The ulama say that you should have developed a level of familiarity with somebody before you give a gift. For example, if a student gives a teacher a gift, he should get to know the teacher first before giving a gift. And there's a lot of wisdom in that. One of those is that if a person takes a bag of exotic cashew nuts or a fruit, and the person, the teacher, or the one receiving the gift is allergic to it, then you're going to cause problems. So it's going to be having the opposite effect. Far from bringing delight and joy, or bring pain and inconvenience and discomfort to the person we're trying to make happy. So this is why it's important to have some hikmah, some wisdom, some thinking behind what we do. Coming back to what we were discussing in terms of celebrations and imitating festivals of non-Muslims and non-Islamic practices, this is actually a pagan celebration, right? And to be involved with that in any way, shape or form does not behove, it does not befit the sublime character of the Muslim, who's been given a pure and beautiful deen, which covers everything. The relationship between a man and a woman, a husband and wife, is one that is sacred in Islam. Nikah is something where witnesses are brought. And the sunnah is to have the nikah in the masjid, in the mosque. And then to have the walima, which is given by the groom after having consummated the marriage. Part of the marriage is also to give her the mahr, the dowry, for the bride. And then during the whole marriage, the encouragement in the whole of the philosophy of Islam is one of mudawwan, rahmah, love and mercy, understanding one another. Men and women are different but equal. They're different but equal. They have different roles, they have different functionalities, they have different physicalities, they have different emotional needs, they have different psychological needs. With all of these things, it takes time within a marriage for a couple to get to know one another. One should be patient with one another. This isn't a talk about how to make good relationships within marriage and make them prosper. This is about not celebrating something and getting involved in something, being in the West, being in Europe, and something that we constantly see are being advertised and bombarded with marketing, digital marketing everywhere we go, how to avoid that. So in Islam, we have our own distinct philosophy, which is to celebrate the love between parents and their children, between children and their parents, between husband and wife, wife and husband. All of these things are to be celebrated in what way? On a daily basis, with an understanding, with the care, with the security, with the honesty, with the patience with one another, because nobody is perfect. And all of these things come together in what then becomes, inshallah, a successful partnership, a successful marriage. But no marriages and no relationships are perfect. And we certainly don't need to involve ourselves in non-Islamic rituals and pagan rituals, contrary to our belief system and our core values. So do have a romantic dinner on 14th of February and then do what you will for the rest of the year. The other reason that the ulama have said it's haram to celebrate anything to do with Valentine's Day is because it encourages people to have haram relationships. And that's something Islam is very against. Islam is all about setting up the family lifestyle. A good home, a good family home, where there's a husband, there's a wife, there are children, inshallah, if Allah blesses them. If there are parents, then there are parents, but if not, it's the husband and wife and their family, their children. This is what Islam encourages, and that's what brings societies together. Nowadays, the biggest problem that we have in society is the broken home. Marriages are ending up in divorce at an alarming rate. There's infidelity. There is haram relationships. People get to college and university or at work, and all sorts of things are going on as a result of it. And there's also been a concerted effort and an agenda to ensure that people break up the family unit. Kids are told to be rebellious, or they're just teenagers. Don't listen to your parents. What do they know? And wives are told, forget your husband. Women's rights, women's rights, women's rights. That means don't listen to him, don't listen to him. And the man is being told that, you know, you can't trust the woman. So everything's designed towards breaking up the family home. And what we say is, we don't impose our views as Muslims upon anybody else, but we say we have our own values. And they have stood the test of time. Only now, when Muslims have begun to imbibe and take on foreign morals and behaviors and patterns of behavior, are we suffering the same problems that everybody else seems to be suffering from. So we should be very careful not to involve ourselves in those things which go contrary to the teachings of Islam, because Islam is a divine religion. There's wisdom behind it, divine wisdom, Allah, the Creator's wisdom. And nobody should think that Islam does not have love in it. Islam is all about love. The basis for Islam is love. Love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of his names is Al-Wudud, the most loving. Al-Wudud. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, بَعْدَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Verily, and indeed, verily, those who believe, the believers, they are staunch. Ashad Hubbala. Ashad here is for tawdhil, it's for emphasis. And those who know Arabic will appreciate that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they're not shadid, they're ashad. They're extremely, very, very extremely staunch and zealous in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah says that in a good way. Allah says that in a way that's praising that quality, that attribute in the believers. So that's one of the beautiful verses of the Quran that highlights that, talking about the love of the Savior of men and jinn, the whole of creation. Rahmatul lil alameen, Muhammad bin Abdullah al Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about him, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ قُلْ say, O Muhammad, meaning to the people, to you and I, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ حِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, from the root word حُب, meaning love. حِبُّونَ اللَّهِ قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبُكُمْ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this very famous verse that many people know, say, O Muhammad, to the people, if you claim to love Allah, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you love Allah, fattabi'uni, follow me, meaning follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What will happen? Yuhibbukum Allah, Allahu Akbar, yuhibbukum Allah, Allah will love you. And the ya here, again for those tulab and students of Arabic, they'll appreciate, the ya in Arabic comes in front of a word to denote the present tense and the future tense. It's a mudari, which contains in it the tense of the present tense and future. So what does that now mean in reflection on the verse? That Allah yuhibbu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, yuhibbukum Allah, Allah will love you now and continue to love you. Wa yaghfir lakum dhunubukum, and Allah will forgive you now and continue to forgive you. Allah ghafur rahim, and Allah is the most clement, most merciful, most forgiving. So Islam is all about love. Don't we hear the khutbah of Arabic every Jum'ah, when the Imam and the Khatib says from the minbar, that the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ فَبِحُبِّي أَحَبَّهُمْ وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَبَهُمْ فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَبَهُمْ خَيْرُ أُمَّتِي قَرْنِي ثُمَّ الَّذِينِ يَلُونُهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينِ يَلُونُهُمْ. Regarding his Sahaba, the holy companions of the Prophet ﷺ, that whoever loves them because of me. And whoever dislikes them because of me. Meaning, Prophet ﷺ is warning us to love the Sahaba, to honor them in mind, in heart, and with our tongues. That's why we say رضي الله عنه or رضي الله عنها for a female companion of the Prophet ﷺ. This is very important. Love is the basis for all of this. If we do not love, why do we do so much dhikr of Allah, so much muraqabah? Why do we do the qalbi dhikr, the repetition of Allah's name, of the kalima la ilaha illallah, illallah, la ilaha illahu Allah, the various forms of muraqabah and meditation that we do, focusing on the sensing points of the ruh, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the soul was in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its true original form. On Yawm Alast, when the arwah, all the souls were asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Alastu bi Rabbikum, am I not your Lord? Qalu bala. All the arwah, all the souls, unanimously replied, without doubt, indeed, meaning you are. But when the ruh was blown into the jasad, the human body, it came into contact with the nafs. Surah Shams speaks about this. Allah says in the Holy Quran, after swearing by many of his amazing signs in the creation, وَالشَّمْسُ وَضُحَاهَا وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا تَلَاهَا وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا جَلَّاهَا وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا وَالسَّمَاءِ وَمَا بَنَاهَا وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا تَحَاهَا وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. So after swearing by so many things, seven things, nowhere else in the Holy Quran has Allah sworn by seven things. Allah swears by those seven things. And Allah does not need to swear by anything, because وما أصدق من الله. Who can be more truthful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is truth. But Allah, when He takes an oath, is to tell us that whatever I'm about to say now, listen, O people, with attentive hearts and attentive ears, and with the ears of your heart and soul, open them up and listen. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And then Allah inspired the soul. فَأَلْهَمَهَا. That's where we get the word ilham, inspiration from, inspired in it. فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Fujur, the propensity towards sin. وَتَقْوَى, وَتَقْوَاهَا. And فَتَقْوَى, piety, righteousness. So we have these two qualities in us. And as a result, if we focus on the desires of the nafs, the nafs ammara bisu, the nafs that invites us towards sin, watching haram, listening to haram, speaking haram, doing haram, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our beloved, then the soul forgets its origin, that it was in love with Allah, its creator. Allah breathed in His spirit into man. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. Only when Allah breathed in His spirit was the command given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everybody to prostrate themselves to Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِ فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. So the human ruh, the soul, it has a great unsur, it has a great essence and a binding of love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we need to remind it of it. But if we give in to our bestial desires, our animal instincts, wake up when we want, sleep when we want, eat what we want, when we want, constantly all the time, watch TV, Netflix, Amazon Prime, box sets, favorite film, favorite anime movie, favorite music, favorite rap, favorite gossip, let's talk about that brother, let's talk about that sister, do ghiba and backbiting, if that's all we're going to do, we're killing the ruh, and the nafs become stronger and stronger and stronger. As a result of that, more heedlessness enters, and we forget our origin, that we were made in the best of forms. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Wattin, Wattini wa Zaytun, wa Tur Sinin, wa hadha al-balad al-amin, laqad khalaqna al-insana fi ahsan taqwim. And we created man in the best of fashions, the best of forms. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. And then man fell to the lowest of the low. We only fall to the lowest of the low from أحسن تقويم if we follow our base desires and everything. But if we oppose our base desires, if the nafs says sleep, and Allah is saying it's Fajr time, then if we disobey the nafs and obey Allah, that's when we brighten our heart with the nur from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His love increases. Then we do that for dhuhr, love increases. Then we make sure we don't miss asr, love increases. Then we make sure we're there on time with wudu for ish, for maghrib, love increases. We do the same for isha, love increases. We learn and memorize some sunnah, du'as of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of waking up, of going to sleep, love increases. We engage in dhikr, love increases, especially with dhikr and salawat and salam upon the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We make du'a to Allah for all our needs, believing that He answers our du'as. Ud'uni astajib lakum. Allah says, ask and I will answer you. Allah is mujib al-du'a. He wants us to ask. Allah loves His servant many, many more times than a mother loves their own children. Allah is the one who taught mothers how to love their children. So imagine how much more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves us. He gives iman without us even asking for it. He blessed us with tawheed and with Islam and the beauty and the purity of Islam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us from the ummah of the most beloved to Him, Muhammad al-Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is this not love? So the more we focus on the ruh instead of the nafs, the more dhikr we do. And when we make mistakes, we repent. And Allah loves that also. Allah says in the Holy Quran, people say, well, we're not perfect, we make mistakes on a daily basis, we look at things we shouldn't do, we listen to things we shouldn't do, we say things that we shouldn't do. What about us? Allah loves people who repent. The door of repentance and tawbah and asking for forgiveness is always open. And Allah doesn't look down upon anybody. You know how we are as human beings? We don't forgive very easily. We don't forget very easily either. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately forgives and makes other people forget as well. No matter what kind of life people led before, when a person does tawbah, Allah helps them if it's sincere. Allah says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبَّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Indeed, Allah in inna in Arabic comes for emphasis, for ta'keed. Inna means in not just indeed. In English it would mean indeed, verily, without doubt, assuredly, with certainty. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبَّ التَّوَّابِينَ. Allah loves, indeed, Allah verily loves those who repent and turn to Him. Allah loves the people who sin. Who repents? A person has made a mistake, a sin. Allah is saying, I love those, not those who are perfect. I love those who are not perfect, but who will do tawbah and turn to me. Allahu Akbar. Is this not love? Do we still need Valentine's Day? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to earn His love through the dhikr of Allah, through ta'ah, through obedience, and that we understand the true purpose of our existence and our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not meant to be too long a nasiha. It's late. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to draw closer to Him and grant us His love, the love of His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all those things that are beloved to Him. May He create love between our parents, if they're alive, and our children, and for those who are married, between husband and wives. And may Allah grant mercy to all the hearts and grant humanity so that they understand when things are being done against humanity. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give people mercy so that they can show mercy to humans. Wa akhira da'wana anilhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفر واتوب اليك السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته